focus from the dollars to the in God we trust. Saying it's God we trust. And it's without God, everything is meaningless. Amen. And, you know, in His Word, we need to be consumers of His Word. You know, His Word is truth. And we need to consume that. Amen. But, amen, that song, it just was, you know, striking. Just as we were singing it, you know, in God we trust. We need to trust God. We need to answer that for ourselves. I can't answer it for you. You can't answer that for me. We each have to answer it for ourselves. Of where are we putting our trust? Where do we put our trust? Is it in God? Amen. Hallelujah. You know, I always like to start out with something, you know, a little story. And I just, you know, I guess it's especially in the summertime, you know, we love to travel around. We love to get out and enjoy the nice weather. And we love to go different places. We do it some in the wintertime too, but it's a little bit tougher to get out and enjoy the things. I'm not really a cold weather person, you know, even though we live up here and we love this area, and it's just, this is really God's country up here. It's just so beautiful, and there's so much to do and so much to see. And let me back up just a little bit. How's that? That sounds a little better, I think. A little bit less rain. Anyways, we love to get out. And one of the things that we love to do is we love to try different places to eat. You know, some people, my brother's one of them, that he gets a place and he'll go to the same place every time, you know. And he'll know the owners, they'll know him by name, and they, you know, they'll come in, hey Sam, you know, there you are, you know, I was at one restaurant that my brother told me about, and I went up there, and it was up at the airport, the little restaurant that they put in up there, you know, and we were eating and everything, and the guy, the owner came out, and I said, you know, you might know my brother. He suggested I come up here, and I told him, and, oh yeah, he was up here last night, you know, and they were having, you know, but that's not me, okay, that's not us. We like to go around and try different people, thank you. And try different places, different foods and everything. But one of the things that, you know, I've got this ironclad stomach. You know, I'll eat anything. You know, it's just, you know, it doesn't affect me. You know, I love, you know, just whatever they're offering. You know, but my wife is more health conscious, and she likes these farm to table type restaurants and likes to try to eat healthy and takes care of, you know, obviously takes care of her body much better than I do. You know, she watches out for these things and loves to go to these places, you know. And so we're traveling around, and we found this diner that was that we wanted to try. And we go in there and we're looking at the menu. And, you know, it's, you know, some of the stuff that is so good to eat, you know, is so bad for you. And one of the things, you know, is French fries, you know, love French fries. And so, you know, she got all excited because, you know, on the menu, it says fat-free French fries. And we're like, this is awesome, you know, a French fry that's healthy, you know, this is great, you know. And you know how these diners are, you know, you're sitting there and they're cooking the stuff right over behind the counter and everything, you know. So we're sitting there, we're waiting for our food, and we're, you know, they're over there cooking it and everything, you know. And you see them over there, and they got the fryer later going, you know, and the French fries are in there, and the smoke's rolling up and everything. The French fries come out, and they look so good. And the old, you know, the stuff's just dripping off it and everything, you know. And I'm like, man, this is good, you know. And she's like, you know, what is this? And they bring them over. She says, you said they were fat-free French fries. And they said, they are. We only charge you for the potatoes. Praise God. Amen. God is good. Amen. When Pastor asked me, it was a couple of weeks ago, doesn't usually give me that much warning, but he asked me to speak, a couple of weeks ago. And so, the Lord started talking to me, and, he's talked to me about time. And if you want, I don't know where Ben is, but if you need want a title, it's The Gift of Time, okay? And he talks to me about time because I'm probably the biggest violator of what to do with the time and how to live your life, okay? Don't live it like me. Live it like God Amen. Wants you to live it, okay? But anyways, when I was thinking about it, the scripture that came to mind is in Ecclesiastes 3, okay? And it says in verse 1, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. Okay? And, I know the scripture goes on and it starts, giving a lot of examples of what there are times for, to plant and weep and all these different things, that we can do with our time. Okay? But, as I was reading this and studying, he brought me down to verse 13, and he says, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the goods of all that of all his labor, for it is a gift of God.
Come on, that's right.
Okay. The gift that God gives you. So many times we focus on, I want to gain this, I want to get, I want more. And so many times, as I said at the beginning, we focus on, I want more money, I want more money. And if we look at something, how much does it cost? Okay? We look at how much it costs in dollars and cents. But what the true cost, and I read a little while ago, it was a Peanuts cartoon, amen? And Linus is the philosopher, and he says, the true cost is the time it takes. We need to start looking at this and understanding that money, it comes, money it goes, okay? Most of it goes. But what I found out is that, there's always, you can earn more. You can get more. If you apply yourself and there's always ways. Some people, have been blessed and have, much money. Some people have less money. But we have to learn to be content, like Paul said, in whatever state it is, whatever it is that God has blessed us with, that's what we need to learn to be content with, and we need to learn to trust in God. Because God says, what is the deal? You're worrying about things tomorrow. The birds don't worry about their food. The flowers don't worry about what they're how they're going to dress, how they're going to look, But yet we worry about these things. We take these things in and we worry about that. But who, through worry, can add 1 minute onto their life? There is one thing that we cannot earn more of, and that is our time. We are set. There is a set time for us to be born, and there is a set time for us to die. It is set at the time that we were born. We've got X number of days. Some of us have longer, some of us shorter. My wife probably has longer because she's going to eat well. I'm going to eat the junk food, But it's up to God. It's up to the Lord how much time we have. And so what we need to look at is, as we are living in this life and as we are walking in this life, We need to begin to change our mindset as to how much things are costing in dollars and cents, and how much things are costing in the minutes and the hours, in the seconds of our life, in the years of our life.
That's right.
I heard a quote once. It said this guy says his grandmother told him. He says that she said, "I always thought that I'd grow old, but I didn't think it would come this fast."
Yeah.
You know, we don't realize that it's going to come in the blink of an eye. We don't realize, you know. It's like, you know, the other, this year, you know, my wife and I, we celebrated our 23rd anniversary, you know. It's like we look back to when we got together and when we started out. And I'm like, has it really been 23 years? Oh, my word. It's amazing. I mean, you start thinking about the things that we've done, you know, our children that we've raised, and, you know, the all the different things that have happened, you know, that we've gone through different things, and we've had victories, and we've had setbacks, and we've had all these different things that we've accomplished, and you know, that we're, you know, we're, praise God, you know, He has sustained us through it all, and our love is strong, and we're together, and we're you know, planning on being together, aren't we, hon? it's my plan. Praise God. So, you know, but it goes by so fast. It's just incredible to think about. And we need to, you know, look, and we need to say, you know, we've accomplished this, but, you know, we need to look to the future. And, you know, so many times we say, we look into the future and we say, and, you know, well, we're going to save up for retirement, you know. We're going to, you know, we're going to put away, you know, in our 401ks, and we're going to put away in our, you know, in our, you know, maybe the stocks that we invest in, and all these different things we're going to put away for so that we have things for our retirement. But God says, you know, that we need to put away these things. We need to lay up our treasures in heaven. Okay? Because this life, like I said, it goes so fast. It's just like a fleeting moment. But God says we're working towards an eternity.
That's right.
When yesterday, it was the funniest thing. You know, we had one of those moments, you know, where how you know, King Nebuchadnezzar, you know, they're in this big banquet, and all of a sudden there's this writing that's starting on the wall, you know, and this hand just starts writing these words on the wall. And we're sitting there down at BJ's, we're in the line to get some gas, and we're sitting there, and this truck is in front of us, and it's got this cab on the back of it. It's got this back window and everything, you know. And, you know, it didn't look that dirty, but evidently the window was pretty dirty. Because it's like we're sitting there, and all of a sudden this guy that's filling up his tank, he goes to the back of his truck, and in the dust and dirt on his window, he starts writing. Big letters. And it, you know, it caught Debbie's eye first because he writes the first word. He says, "Kill." And we're like, oh man, well, you know, it's like, I'm ready to put it in reverse, you know, and get out of it. You know, he's going to start shooting people or something, you know. But then, as he's writing, you know, he's like, you know, he writes more, and he writes the second line and everything. And he writes, "Kill the tent caterpillars." I mean, you talk about random. It's like, I mean, we're sitting there, and right in front of us, out of the blue, you know, this arbitrary guy just starts writing on his window while his tank is filling up, that kill the tent caterpillars. And I'm like, well, you know, God's got to be saying something, you know. I mean, this is just, I mean, who else can he be writing this for? I mean, there's nobody else in line. There's nobody else here, you know. It's like, kill the 10 caterpillars. But the scripture that says, God, lay up your treasures in heaven, is in Matthew 6:20, where it says, lay up your treasures in heavens where the moths and the rust cannot eat them. What do 10 caterpillars turn into?
Sure.
They turn into moths. And we find that the riches of this world are not going to sustain us through eternity. They're not going to be taken with us. When we die, they stay.
Right.
If the economy goes bad, they can be taken away from us. There's no stability. There's nothing that you can trust in this world that cannot be taken away from you. But what is real and what is just and what is you have to put your trust in is the things of God. And as you begin to lay up your treasures in heaven, he says, nothing can rob you of those things. The robbers cannot come in and steal those things. Because they're laid up in treasure, up in heaven. You've laid your treasures up in heaven. And he says, they're always going to be safe. When I gotta take out my phone for this one, okay? If you give me just a second, hopefully I can find. Okay, good, it came up. Don't you love it when it works, okay? I tried to print it out, but my printer wasn't working this morning, so I said, well, I'm gonna have to read it off my phone, okay? So there's this poem that a guy named C.T. Studd wrote that. It's fairly long, but I just want to read the first two verses of it. Okay, it says, the name of it is Only One Life. You may be familiar with it. Okay, it says, two lines I heard one day, traveling along life's busy way, bringing conviction to my heart, and from my mind it would not depart. It says, only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what is done for Christ will last. Only one life, yes, only one. Soon the fleeting hours will be done. Then in that day, my Lord to me, and stand before his judgment seat. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what is done for Christ will last. We need a challenge today.
That's right.
Okay? We need to learn from our history, our past, our lives. We need to look at where our lives have gone, the fleeting moments, the 23 years that have gone, you know? How many more years do we have? We don't know. How many years have, that we understand all these years, they are a gift from God.
Right.
Our time is a gift.
Right.
Okay? Each moment that we live, okay, is a moment that's a gift from God. Each moment that we lived is a moment that we're going to account for. God's going to ask us one day, what did you do? Okay. I watched Star Wars 15 times. Nothing wrong with watching a movie. Nothing wrong with, you know, but we need to ask ourselves, what does God have for us? Where does God want us to be? My mom was one. She was, I tell you, you know, I wasn't really planning on touching on this too much, but, you know, my sister this year in you know, by association, me, have been going through our, you know, kind of our life's, you know, the generations back in the, you know, our life's history, our family, you know, and everything. And I'm learning things that I never knew about my ancestors. And one of the things that, you know, I learned is that, you know, is that my great grandparents, it kind of started with them. It initially kind of started with his folks' parents, but his parents started. His father helped start the denomination of Advent Christians. Wasn't the founder, but was part of that group, the movement, initial movement, and everything. Then my great great grandfather was a pastor. My great great grandmother, believe it or not, back in that day, was a pastor. My grandmother was a pastor. My dad was a pastor. My mom was a pastor. I've been a pastor. But we look at all these things, and I look at my husbands, they study the wives, they devour. Mm-hmm. I thank God that God's given me a wife that devours. Mm-hmm. Can't get enough. Mm-hmm. Excited to see what the Lord does mm-hmm. through her. Mm-hmm. Excited to see what he does through me, if he so chooses. Yeah. Amen. We're excited about you being used by God. But what the point is what are we going to do from now? We can learn from the past, but we cannot change the past. We can learn. We can say, I did this and I did that, but I'm going to change what I'm going to do. It inspires me to do more, you know? I look at some of these people, and you know, and we have so much more to work with than they had in that day.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's like if they wanted to travel, you know, 60 miles away. I mean, you're talking about something that's going to take at least a day.
Yeah. Yeah.
They just didn't have, you know, where they do that in an hour. Well, it used to take days. But yet you look at what they accomplished, and it challenges you to do more and to become more of what the Lord did. We need to make sure that we do not waste the gift that God has given us. We hope we have years left, but we hear reports every day of people who all of a sudden that life was snatched away. We don't know. So we need to make the most of what we have. And I'm thinking about the fact, and I'm probably, you know, as guilty as the next person of harboring anger. Something doesn't go my way. Well, I got the right to be mad. I got the right to be, you know, angry over this. And then if you get, you know, it goes on long enough, I can be bitter, you know. You know, I can be bitter at this. In all these things, the bitterness, the things. I mean, you get the you know, somebody do something on the road. You know, there's that old road rage. You know, come out. You know, he doesn't have the right to pull in front of me. What are you doing? You're merging in front of me. And I get up close to the next guy, you know, so that they can't get in front of me, you know. It's like a challenge. And we let people rob us of the joy. The Lord says that He wants us to have the joy of the Lord. Not that everything that we're going to go through is going to be great and going to be fun and going to be, you know, in all these, you know, the just go through life with no problems and just a, you know, a skip in our step and everything's good, you know. But yet, you know, we need to look at things and say, okay, you know, whatever it is that we're going through, we need to understand that if we give our life to God, if we trust in God like we say we're going to do, like we say we trust in God, then we will trust Him that whatever it is that He's taking us through is going to be good for our good.
Right.
It's going to work out for us. It's going to be for us. Okay? And then it's a challenge. Okay? There's, you know, how we're going to pay this bill, how we're going to, you know, do the, you know, get through this problem, how we're going to fix that, what are we going to do, you know, how we're going to, you know, we're, you know, how we're going to get through this sickness, you know, all these different things, you know, how we lose our job, how we're going to find another job, all these things, you know, we can get down on these things and we can get discouraged and we can give up our joy, or we can look at these things as a challenge. You know, it's kind of like a puzzle that we're putting together. God is directing our steps. He is changing our path. He is taking us a direction that we were not planning on taking, but that does not mean it's a bad path. That does not mean that it's wrong. It just means that it's different than what our plan is. It's different than the way we would go. And when we go into a different place than what we thought we would go, then we step into the plan of God and we give our trust to God and we say, now we're in God's time. Now we're in God's ways. Now we have to trust in God that He's going to see us through, because I don't know what the end is, but God does know. God knows the beginning to the end. He knows where He wants us to be, and He knows how to get us there. All these things that we've been through, all these things with life, all these experiences that you have, okay, don't get down on yourself and think, oh, they're just wasted years, they're wasted times. No, they're a path that you've been on. You've lived your life a certain way. It is your choice of how you want to spend those days, those minutes, those years. It's your choice. He says, I'm giving you this. It is my gift. It is my joy. It brings joy to God's heart to see you victorious, to see you walking out your life in a plan and a purpose and everything. And when you get off from that plan and purpose, and when you get, you know, go astray, then He has ways to bring you back. To get you back onto the way that He wants you to go. He's got ways of doing this. And we get upset and we struggle and everything, but we need to find joy in all things. Okay? Now my father, both my parents have gone on to be with the Lord, but my father, on his gravestone in his scripture, was Romans 8:28. Okay, it says all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to His purposes. Okay. Are you called according to His purposes? Well, when you get saved, that's exactly what happens, okay? And whether you're saved or not, I'm speaking to everyone. God loves you. God loves you. God, He desires the best for your life. He's inviting you today to accept Him as your Savior and walk in this victorious life, not to be overcome by these things, but to put your trust in God. And when you do, when you invite Him into your heart, when you ask Him to forgive you for your sins and become the Savior of your life, then He will be that. He will direct your steps. He will direct your path. It says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He will begin to order your steps. He will begin to use you in ways that you will, as you yield to Him, He will take you places that you didn't think you would go. He will give you experiences that you never thought of. And as you begin to, and if you accept Him as your Savior, begin to devour His Word. Begin to get in His Word. What's challenging me? I get in the Word more. I don't care how much you've studied. Okay, well, how many, you know, classes you've taken. I don't care how many, you know, what kind of degree you have in, you know, in the scriptures and in, you know, in how many years you've been to seminary or whatever, you know. You cannot stop getting into the Word of God. There's not an end to learning what God has for you, because each day is a new day. And if He's given you another new day, it's another new day to be victorious in the Lord Jesus Christ. Another day to see what exciting adventure the Lord has for us today. Like I say, maybe it's a great day that we try a new restaurant. Maybe it's a day that we deal with a car that's broke down. Maybe it's a day that we're not feeling on top of the world. But yet, it's a new day in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's a day that we can be victorious and we can become an overcomer. Like I say, if we love God and are called according to His purposes, we put our trust in God, then we find that all things are going to work together for our good. Amen. All things, okay? My mom's scripture on her gravestone, 2 Corinthians 1:20. For the promises of God are yea and amen unto His glory.
Amen.
Promises of God. Where are the promises of God? Right here. The Word of God. There are promises in there. Seek out the promises of God, because His promises you can stand on. I promise? No. I try to keep my promises. But I tell you what, there's been a lot of people in this world that I've failed. There's some regrets that I have of things that I've let people down. I've not been able to keep my word, you know, because I'm fallible. God is not. God's word is true today. It was true yesterday. It will be true tomorrow. His promises are yea and amen. Amen. He says, the Bible says, that we sing that song, On Christ the Solid Rock I Stand. He says a life that is built on the Lord Jesus Christ is built on the solid rock.
Amen.
You build your life on the Lord Jesus Christ. You give your life to Him and ask Him to direct your steps. Then your life will be on solid ground. There have been times in my life that, you know, I felt like the foundations were shaking. But you know what? The only stable thing that I can always say, and is true today, some things have gone in the way, by the wayside, you know, they've just gone in the past. But what is not failed me, and I've always be able to stand on, is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the solid foundation. All other ground is sinking sand. Okay? Stand on the Word of God. The more you know about the Word of God, the stronger you'll be.
Right.
He says, you know, when Jesus went out in the wilderness and was tempted by the enemy, he didn't stand on his word and say, Satan, I rebuke you. Satan, I do, you know, this. He was the Son of God. But what did he stand on? The Word of God. He says, it is written. It is written. That is what we need in our life. When life serves us up these things, we need to be able to stand and say, no, it is written that the Lord is my healer. The Lord is my provider. The Lord is my shield. The Lord is my high tower. The Lord is the one that the rock that I under his wings. You know, we need to know these things, and we need to be able to stand in the days. We're talking about the days that we're faced with. You know, Sean was talking about that at the beginning. I like your shirt, Sean. Nice. I don't know. I mean, days are different, you know. Have we ever faced days like this, you know? Well, I know I haven't. I know this is something new. I mean, but yet, you know, goodness, the Christians throughout ages have been faced with difficulties. But they stand strong. God always has a remnant. And we need to be a part of the sons of God. We need to be, no, we need to know who we are. That's what we are. We need to know there's an attack on the identity of people today. They don't know who they are. They don't know what they are. We need to know who we are. We need to know our ancestry and where we come from. Like I say, I've been amazed at learning my ancestry, but it goes back to the foundation. The true ancestry is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where my ancestry starts, is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's when my life began, was when I gave my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he took me and he said, Steve, I'm going to use you. I'm going to make you something. I'm going to take you through places and take you to places. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to desire good for you and not evil. All these things, all these promises of God are for you, and they are yea and amen. They are not disputable. You cannot argue with them because they're the Word of God. And the Word of God is trustworthy. You can stand if it says it in the Bible. If it says it and it's the Word of God, then you can stand on it. Doesn't matter what others do. It doesn't matter what, you know, who lets you down. It doesn't matter who does what to you. It doesn't matter if that guy cuts you off in traffic. We need to stand on the Word of God. We need to have to understand that God is love. And I need more of that love of God, the agape love that loves no matter what. You know, we all go different ways. We all have had different lives, you know. Some of you look at, you know, me and say, well, I wouldn't do it that way. But yet, you know, I wouldn't do it the way you guys did it sometimes. But yet, there's that bond of love, God's love, that we can love each other no matter what. No matter, you know, what the background is, no matter what the, you know, what we've done, God, we have to understand God's love transcends all things. And we need more of the love of God in this day and in this hour, to so that we can share the love of God with all those people that need to know who they are. We need to let people know they are loved by God, and God desires to see the best for them. Amen. I believe that's all I have. God bless you. It was so good to be here. Thank you for letting me share the word. Amen.
Hallelujah. So I guess when you go into the restaurant and have French fries, ask them if the if the oil is free. Amen. Thank you, Steve. I guess I could say goodbye first. Blessings to everyone that's been a part of this morning. We trust that the Lord has written His word upon your heart, trusting that that place of worship was an opportunity for you just to quiet yourself and allow that heart of yours to be prepared for the word. So we just bless all of you, especially for Lisa or those that have been watching in California. I've really been praying for those, because that tornado is headed. It's already starting to hit. The hurricane devastated already many parts of Mexico. And so we just bless all of you in Jesus' name.